Zos chukas haTorah. First Rashi in the parasha tells us, "Lavisha satan vuumos haolam monenes Yisrael lomar maha mitzvah zos matam yeshba." The attitude of the umos haolam toward our observance of Parah Aduma is going to be that you're doing something ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. There's no logic to anything that you're doing. So that's why the Torah says, "Chuka gzeruhi milafanai ve'en lecharishus da'aracharecha." Lest that attitude creep into our approach toward the mitzvah, our approach toward Parah Aduma, the Torah reminds us, chukah, it's a gezerah milfanai, it's a gezerah from Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have no permission to start thinking about why it doesn't make any sense, and therefore maybe we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't think along those lines. Our attitude is one of completely being completely positive toward the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. But very clearly from Rashi, the umos ha'olam have a very negative attitude toward Parah Aduma, a very strongly negative attitude. Yet, the Torah itself tells us in Parshas Veschanan, when it talks about chukim, ki hi chokhmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'amim, asher yishmu'un es kol ha'chukim ha'ela, v'amru rak am chacham v'navon ha'gaya gadol hazeh. Unbelievable, no? Rashi tells us, chok means, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, the kind of thing the Umos HaOlam make fun of us about and say, you're being ridiculous, you're doing things that don't make any sense. And yet, the Pasuk tells us, in Parshas Veschanan, the Umos HaOlam are going to look at our chukim and say, wow, what an amazing nation. What an elevated, insightful, that they look at it and say, what an amazing people. Chachmaschem uvinaschem. And not only are they going to tolerate it, they're going to see in our chukim, our chachma, our bina, that we're an am chacham v'navon hagaya gadol hazeh. So which is it? Do the Umos HaOlam think our chukim are ridiculous, are stupid? Or do they respect our chukim? Second, Rashi himself, at the very beginning of the parasha, tells us Parah Aduma has no rational explanation. I just read you the Rashi. He says, you know, gzeirahi milafanai, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not going to be able to explain it, but it is what it is. It's as if the Torah, with the phrase Zos Chukas HaTorah, has put up a warning, discouraging us to even try to explain Parah Aduma, even as other people tease us about it, and mock us about it. Yet, just 22 psukim later, in this week's parasha, Rashi himself gives a little bit of a reason for Parah Aduma. Rashi himself tells us, Mashal leben shivcha shetinef platin shel melech, amru tavo imo v'takanei ha-chatzoa, kach tavo parah v'techaper ale'egel. Parah Aduma didn't come out of nowhere. It comes in a broader context. There was a child of a para, or something that looked like the child of a para, an egel, that made a big mess of Klal Yisrael, and we needed the mother to come clean up the kid's mess. We needed the para to be mechaper for the egel. Now, it's troubling that Rashi gives a reason after he told us there is no reason. But the actual reason is somewhat troubling also. Meaning, what does one really have to do with the other? Many of the Mefarshim point out the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, which was given in Mara, actually came before the Cheda Egel. So how could we have Cheda Egel being, Parah Aduma being mechaper for Cheda Egel? Parah Aduma came first. It didn't come later. So perhaps a basis for an answer to all of this, based on an unbelievable story at the beginning of Maseches Bava Basra. Hordus was a slave to the Beis Chashmonai, and he received some sort of Ruach HaKodesh, some sort of divine inspiration, heard some sort of baskal, advising him that if he rebels on a particular day, that he's going to be successful and be able to take over the whole Beis Chashmonai. So he does, he listens to the advice, and he kills out the entire household of the Beis Chashmonai, with the exception of one girl that he wanted to marry. Long story what he did with her, different tales of what she committed suicide because she knew that he wanted to marry her, and he kept her body preserved for whatever reason. And the Gemara goes on to tell us, Amar, man darsh mikarev achicha tas melech ha-melech. Hordus himself said, wait a second, this drasha, that mikarev achicha tas melech ha-melech, that a melech has to come from amongst you and that a slave isn't allowed to be a melech. Who made that drasha? Rabbanan, rabbis made that drasha. Kom katlin l'lukul rabbanan. Well, that means the rabbis are a threat to me because I'm an Eved and I just took over the Malchus Beis Chashmonai. So the rabbis are a threat to me, so he went and he killed out all the rabbis. Okay. Shavki l'bav ben buta. L'mishkal etzem minei. But he also realized rabbis are very smart people sometimes. And he needs to keep a rabbi around in case he needs good advice. So he left Bava ben Buta alive. But Bava ben Buta doesn't get off the hook entirely. He poked out Bava ben Buta's eyes. Bava ben Buta was blinded by him. Yom echad asav yasav kamei. So one day he comes to visit Bava ben Buta in disguise. He doesn't have to be disguised because Bava ben Buta is blind, but he disguises his voice. Amar, and he says, pretending to be somebody else. Chazi mar hayav debisha maika avid. He says to Bava ben Buta, look what this horrible eved did to you. Can you believe it? Amrlei may avid lei. So Bava ben Buta says, what do you want me to do? Amrlei nalati mar. You should curse him. The disguised Hordus says to Bava ben Buta, you should curse Hordus. So Amrlei ksiv gam madacha melech al tekalo. No, you're not allowed to curse the king. Amrlei haylav melechu. Is that a king? He's an eved. No problem. Curse him. The Torah tells me, even if he was just a regular rich guy, I wouldn't be allowed to curse him. Even if he was just a regular Nasi, I wouldn't be allowed to curse him. He doesn't even have to be a king. I'm not allowed to curse a guy like this. So Hordus pushes further. But that's only if he's a good guy. This guy murdered all your friends. He's not a good guy. So says, tell you the truth, I'm afraid. I don't want to curse him. He's going to hear about it. It's going to be trouble. You see, I don't have eyes anymore. You know, this could be trouble. So Amalei leki nishta azul delay Amalei da anava at yosivna. So this disguised Hordus says, don't worry, nobody's going to tell him. It's just me and you here. You know, you and me, the random guy. You have no idea who you're talking to. Who's going to tell him? Don't worry about it. It's all good. So Amalei ksiv ki of hashemayim yolech es hakol. No, the Torah tells us that the little birdie hears things and is going to get the word out there. The walls have ears. Right? Somehow it's going to get out. Amar lei, so finally Hordus comes clean. He says, I know who! I'm Hordus. If I only would have known the rabbis were so careful, I never would have killed all of them. Hashtamai takante. Is there any way I could do tshuva for this? And then Gemara goes on the whole story how he tells him to do tshuva, rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, make it even nicer, and he did a whole beautiful construction job. Fine. He was mechaba oro shalolam, so he has to light the oro shalolam, which is Beis Hamikdash. Good. So Herod then goes and he rebuilds the second Beis Hamikdash. Beauty, grandeur, chazal say, Mishalora bin Yehordus, Lora bin Yenom, Miyamav. Most beautiful Beis Hamikdash. Fantastic. This very tiny vignette about this very tumultuous and complex life of Hordus with this incredible, stunning change in attitude. Like, mamish, in the course of a single conversation, he went from killing every rabbi to saying, oh my gosh, what did I do? Something here, there was a tipping point here. Something in this conversation happened that made him change his whole attitude, 180 degrees. And all of a sudden, he's able to appreciate the wisdom of the Torah. So what emerges from the story is the true nature of a chok in the Torah. A chok is not a law that has no reason or makes absolutely no sense. There's no such thing. God doesn't do things for no reason, and God doesn't give us mitzvos that make no sense, that are nonsensical. A chok is a halacha or a mitzvah whose reason we don't understand on the surface because we are limited. Whether we are limited by our own intellect, or whether we are limited by the constraints of not being l'mala min azman, and l'mala min amakom, by not seeing the whole big picture. We're human beings, we live in the moment, so we make decisions based on their immediate impact. A very wise human being is able to make decisions based on years ahead, but an eternity, generations ahead? Even the wisest of human beings can't take all that into account. So the chok is that which has the impact that we can't appreciate, that we'll never really understand, because we don't have the same perspective that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. But if we had the perspective of history and destiny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, where you see past, present, and future all at one time, then the chok is very understandable, makes plenty of sense. At face value, Hordus could not understand the wisdom of the Torah. But then a situation comes up where the wisdom serves as a salvation of a Torah Jew. And he sees, you know, all of these things in the Torah that don't make sense to me and that I find insulting to me. and that are going to cost me my life is a threat to me. And then he sees how someone who dedicated his life to Torah, the Torah actually protected him, saved his life, and saved the Hortus in a way. And that relates to what Chazal teaches us about the story of Rechavim, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Gemara tells us, "Im yomru lecha zekenim sesar v'yilodim b'nei sesar v'altivne, im b'nei shestira zekenim binyan v'binyan na'arim stira." V'simun l'dav Rechavim ben Shlomo. Rechavim takes over the Malchus, and the taxes from Shlomo's time are very high because everyone was rich, they could afford very high taxes. But Rechavim is not quite what his father was. And the tourism industry is suffering terribly once Rechavim takes over, because it used to be that everyone would come to Eretz Yisrael to witness Shlomo Melech's wisdom, but Rechavim didn't have that wisdom, so he wasn't a tourist attraction. The prosperity wasn't quite the same, so he wasn't sure what he should do with the taxes. So the younger generation, his chaverim, said, "Show him who's boss. Raise the taxes. Be tougher. Be stronger." And the older generation says, if you really want these people to respect you and to be on your side and to ultimately have any chance of actually of ever getting money out of them, you need to lower the taxes. You need to go easier on them. And he listens to the wrong people. He listens to his friends. And Chazal tell us, even when older people tell you something that sounds like they're telling you to destroy, they're telling you don't take money, give away money, they're telling you it's really a binyan. Because they're not looking at the moment. They're not looking at the 3 minutes after you receive the money of the tax collection. They're looking at a bigger picture. And when you look at a bigger picture, you get a clearer picture. You get a much better idea of what the reaction to any action is going to be in the long term and how it's going to truly affect your life. Based on this idea, maybe we could understand, we could answer the questions that we began with. Yeah, the Ummah Solom are going to mock us for Parah Adumah and for other Chukim as well. There are plenty of people who are unable to see beyond what's directly in front of their faces and certainly won't see any logic to a lot of the Chukim. But in the end of days, when history unfolds and everything becomes clear and your whole the whole human history passes before our eyes, those same Umos Ha'olam are going to marvel at Chachmaschem Uvinaschem, how wise and how brilliant the Torah is. They're going to have a Hordus moment, where they're going to see that this thing that they thought was the biggest threat, this Torah that they thought was somewhere between nonsensical and threatening to them, is actually a basis for Shalom. It's actually something that's a Sam HaChayim, that gives life to humanity. They're going to see Chachma, deep Chachma, Bina, impressive understanding and insight into how the world works through the Torah, through the Chukim. So it's not a stira. At the outset of the parsha, we declare Zos Chukas HaTorah, because we can't understand that this is the antidote to the Chedei Egel. You know why? Because the Chedei Egel didn't happen yet. But a little more perspective and watching how history unfolds, and Rashi tells us, Tavo ima t'kanech tzahas bina. Look at the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was makdim refuah l'machla. He gave us the refuah before he gave us the machla. Is there any way we could have understood that at the time? No way. Impossible for us to understand that at the time. We need a certain amount of perspective in order to understand that. The parable of the mother and the child, you know, could even be appreciated a little bit deeper. The mother surely has other accomplishments besides for cleaning up after a child. She has a reason to exist even if her child never makes a mess. The chukim, even beyond what we're ever going to be able to appreciate, probably have other reasons, even that we don't appreciate. Paraduma, probably not the only reason to be mechaper for the egel. There are probably a lot of other messages in the Paraduma. But that's the idea of Zos Chukas HaTorah. Zos Chukas HaTorah is not to say that it doesn't make sense, or that it's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing our will, or anything. No, Zos Chukas HaTorah is an exercise in humility. It's an understanding that we don't always see everything, And it's a critical lesson in trying to keep our eye on the bigger picture, because it's such a taiva to get lost in the moment. It's so easy, it's our natural reaction to situations, is to get lost in the moment. When we get angry at a family member, or we pick a fight with somebody, we get lost in the moment, because we don't think about how important this relationship is going to be in the long run. I happen to be rabbi of a shul where the first 20 members were all people I knew from high school. If I would have picked fights with all of them in high school, I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have any job. The job I have here also, because I happen to have been a good boy in 10th grade. So my Rebbe hired me. It's, you know, I got lucky. Not that I had this great perspective. But you have no idea about the relationships that you have with people. How important they're going to be down the road. And any time where we get caught up in small things, you know, we get upset about the loss of money here or there, and we just lose sight of the bigger picture. One of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva here told me that his wife doesn't let him carry cash around anymore. I said, why not? He said, because he was giving the boys mussar about how money doesn't mean anything, and he started taking out $10 bills and $20 bills from his wallet and ripping them up and throwing them out. Okay, so I wouldn't recommend doing that. But the point he was trying to make is that, you know, we get caught up in things that seem so critical, seem so important at a time, you know, at a given time. And sometimes they're just not important at all. And sometimes they're important, but in the exact opposite direction that we think they're important. You know, sometimes something terrible happens to us. We think it's terrible, but it's actually the greatest thing that happens to us. Zos Chukas HaTorah is to recognize our own limitations and to try our best, to try to see things in the bigger picture. And Mirtz Hashem, you'll all be at a stage where you're going to get married one day. And this is the biggest challenge in preparing for a wedding. How many Talmidim have to tell me about the fights that go on in the house and between the Mechutanim and all the anxieties, because people are getting caught up. They're getting caught up in the wedding instead of the marriage. They're getting caught up in what's happening today, not how does this affect the rest of our lives. It's in everything. This is just an example where it's important to always keep this in mind. Okay, 100 shots.